May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. See, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Luke 24:49. As today we observe the Feast of the Ascension, we find the disciples in a time of transition. Their beloved Lord and Rabbi is ascending to heaven, but they have yet to receive the full blessing of the indwelling Spirit. It's hard to be caught in between. We're definitely in that world this morning as I am getting ready to depart and you're getting ready to welcome someone else to shepherd you the next leg of the journey. Not that I'm Jesus, hardly, but even I feel a sense of loss alongside the expectation of something new, but as yet unknown, as I imagine that you are as well. The disciples were likely reeling to some extent, even though they were rejoicing. Jesus had died not long ago, only to rise again, renewing their hope, and now having to leave and return to the Father in heaven. I mean, come on, Jesus. Why this roller coaster ride of emotions? What's the deal with these downs and then ups and then downs? And do you expect us to be on the upswing again? Really? But Jesus' promise is the same as his Father's. The first two persons of the Trinity have made a binding pledge that they are sending the third person of the Trinity to dwell in them and empower them. In fact, the disciples simply won't be able to do what Jesus has called them to do without the presence of the Holy Spirit. They need divine strength to carry on in the gospel path that Jesus has laid before them. They simply don't have it within their mere mortal frame to do what God is calling them to do. I think it's easy to forget that the same situation with them is ours today. Without the Spirit of Christ living in us, nudging us, inspiring us, strengthening us, convicting us, giving us the very words and actions that we need to obey God, we are DOA spiritually. A lot of people nowadays consider themselves spiritual but not religious. A lot of that means no more than, well, I like to think that I'm sensitive and in tune with whatever ineffable force that people occasionally give lip service to. But in Scripture, a spiritual person is someone who is fulfilling God's law by depending on God's grace. In other words, a person who is genuinely relying on the Spirit instead of their own best guesses as to how to please God. So Jesus instructs his disciples to remain in Jerusalem until they can get a full dose of the Holy Ghost. He wants to make sure that they don't scatter to the four winds. He wants to make sure that they all see the momentous power of the Spirit for themselves, thus encouraging their hearts and inspiring their witness once they begin to spread out with the message of the ascended Christ. It's hard to recognize how much we need the Holy Spirit. We live in a society whose baseline life, way of life is secular. In a Muslim country, you would never make plans without saying, inshallah, if God wills it. But in so-called Christian America, people go days on end without ever once thinking about God, let alone mentioning him. Yet the moment something goes wrong, we expect the Lord of all creation to drop what he's doing and come in and solve the emotional turmoil of the moment that we happen to be overwhelmed with. Not that God doesn't care. Amazingly, our loving Lord collects our tears and numbers the very hairs on our heads. But maybe we shouldn't be so distant from God and then end up presuming upon his mercy, especially when the solution that's required is a long stint of spirit-empowered obedience before a problem is fully overcome. So the disciples needed Jesus to leave them, painful as that was. They needed him to leave so he could send the Holy Spirit to dwell within and among his church. And that could be a hard truth. Our Father sometimes brings us through uncomfortable changes in order to bring us to a place of promise that we couldn't even begin to dream about. In a few days on Pentecost, they will be surprised by miraculous signs like unlearned foreign languages coming from their mouths, flames of fire dancing over their heads, and remarkable boldness in proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ to a crowd from all over the known world. Who knows what fantastic surprises our Lord has in store for all of us during times of change. But these surprises really aren't a total surprise. Christ told them point blank that God was about to fulfill his promise. They may not have grasped the details, of course, but they knew that the Holy Spirit, whatever that meant, was coming. They knew that the Spirit would lead them into all truth. They also knew in a real sense the presence of the Spirit would bring the presence of Jesus, the same Jesus who said, "Lo, I am with you even to the end of the age." So instead of just Jesus' love being experienced through the limits of a physical body which he had, we now experience Jesus' love unhindered through his life-giving Spirit. The promise of the Spirit, God's own down payment on our redemption, the gift of his own presence living in us and making us truly alive, that promise is about to be fulfilled in a mere handful of days. Now, I grew up in a tradition that made much about the baptism of the Holy Spirit as something that's different from salvation by faith. And I understand how they arrived at that conclusion, though there are a lot of backtracking and qualifications that have to be made to get to that conclusion. The biblical reality is, though, that the Spirit is a gift given to every believer. In fact, baptism, as in water baptism, not spirit baptism, is infused with references about the Spirit's action in our lives when we read about it in the Bible. However, the Bible does seem to indicate that we can wax or wane in our experience of the Spirit. Sin, of course, is a big hindrance to enjoying the presence of God in our lives. But so is lack of belief. Simply not trusting God to do the big things that he has promised. Likewise, mistaking our own internal wishes for what the voice of the Spirit is saying. That can be a barrier. We can be more in tune with the Spirit or less. But that doesn't mean that the Spirit goes away or we have to beg the Spirit to come back, as though we've chased them away like some skittish little bird. We simply need to wake up to the reality that God has given you, his beloved child, the Spirit, and the promise awaits you, assuming you're actually expecting God to fulfill his promise. So Jesus asks us today, are you waiting for the promise? Do you have a growing wave of expectation for a bright future? Are you taking advantage of this season of change to prepare your heart to make room for what God has in store for you? Are you letting the Spirit prune those unfruitful ways of being, doing, and thinking from your life so you can bring in an abundant harvest? Are you willing to take a risk and let God do something more wonderful than you can even anticipate? Because just as sure as he sets his disciples on fire with the message of his love, Jesus is calling you to a new future that is better than yours or my sinful human limitations. Let us pray. O God of unchangeable power and eternal light, look favorably on your whole church, that wonderful and sacred mystery. By the effectual working of your providence, carry out in tranquility the plan of salvation. Let the whole world see and know that things which were cast down are being raised up, and things which had grown old are being made new, and that all things are being brought to their perfection by him through whom all things were made. Your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.